Hi, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. This is Harry Thompson, the editor of USA Hockey Magazine. We've been gone for a while, but we're back, and we're happy to start up another group of podcasts. It's a great time of year for us. We've got the USA Hockey National Championships, which is the biggest event that USA Hockey hosts every year. We are real fortunate today to be joined by Kevin McLaughlin. He is the Senior Director of Hockey Operations, and we're really happy to have Kevin join us today. Hey, Kevin, thanks for taking the time. I know this is a real busy time for you.
Thanks, Harry. Love doing these podcasts and love the opportunity to talk to our members and tell them all about the exciting things that we're doing in youth hockey with USA Hockey all across the country.
You know, Kevin, we just came out of a very exciting Olympics and Paralympics, and I know that that raises the profile of USA Hockey and hockey in general around the United States and probably around the world. The youth hockey events, which really are the bread and butter of USA Hockey, and nothing is more special than our national championships. In your mind, what makes these youth national championships so special?
Well, as you mentioned, it is the pinnacle of our competitive hockey category for our youth programs, our girls' women's programs, and our high school programs. So it's the opportunity to kind of measure where we are with player development. It's the opportunity for kids that have put in several years of youth hockey training and competition to kind of measure themselves maybe against other teams from other districts and other states across the country, see where they might measure up individually, and then see where their team might measure up. Most of these teams have gone through a very competitive qualifying process, whether it's you win your state or you win your district and your affiliate championship in order to qualify to advance. And so most of these teams are on a pretty good roll and having finished their year off in a very competitive, successful experience within their district. And now it's an opportunity for them to actually go and compete against the best teams that have won their districts to try to win and compete at the national championship level and see what kind of success they can have against all of the best from all those different 12 districts that we have across the United States.
You know, not to say that you and I have been at this a long time or long in the tooth, but, you know, we've seen over the years a lot of very talented players who recently put on the USA jerseys. You have Phil Kessel and Patrick Kane on the men's side. You have people like the Lamoureux sisters. You have Kelly Stack, who played on the women's team, who all have gone through nationals. So it must be quite a thrill for you, guys and gals that maybe you've seen at some point in their youth hockey career, making it onto the big stage now.
Absolutely, and that's one of the really fun parts of this is you can watch the kids that compete at the 14U, and then you kind of follow them through and see if they come back at 16U and 18U and on the girls' side all the way up to 19U. And those elite players of the very best that we have always seem to rise to the occasion, and we see them at our national championships and our national player development camps. In fact, yesterday I was watching the women's under-18 world championships from Budapest, Hungary, and the captain of the U.S. women's team was Jency Dunn. And Harry, I think you recall we were in Buffalo a couple of years ago watching Keith Kachuk's team from St. Louis, the Bantam team, playing in the national championships for youth tier one. We saw her and noticed her and what an elite, outstanding player she was. So it was fun to watch her play in the world championships actually as the captain of the U.S. women's under-18 national team. So you just kind of watch these games and you wonder who of these players that we see will rise, you know, will continue to improve themselves as elite players and will somehow surface either on a U.S. national team, a world junior team, or even on an Olympic team possibly. And so that's always fun to see those kids that start to rise and separate themselves a little bit from the other top-end players that we have in the United States.
You know, we talk about the puck drops on Wednesday morning bright and early around the country for the youth nationals, but nationals actually got underway several days ago with the high school tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. I know that you were busy elsewhere, but what have you heard about that tournament that was held there?
Well, that was probably our most competitive national championship, high school national championship that we've ever had. The high school division is our newest division that we've added to our nationals. We've grown this year. It grew exponentially to 32 teams. We had 8 divisions of 4 teams each with a very competitive tournament. Great facilities in Omaha. Great job by Bob Masson and his volunteers that we had there with Steve Lang, Mike Bonish, Mike Connor, and Ken Fickus were there with Kenny Roush to oversee that event. extremely competitive. I watched several of the games on Fast Hockey. You know, you can't be in more than one place at a time, but one of the great things is working with Fast Hockey. You get the opportunity to watch games from other sites. Even though you can't be there in person, you can watch games as they happen live at fasthockey.com. And I watched several of those games, and they were extremely competitive. And it's good to see some new faces in the mix in that national championship, and came down to a very, very competitive championship game yesterday. You know, it's good to see the growth of high school hockey and USA Hockey, and then the increased competitive level of high school hockey also. So, like I said, there were 32 teams there for an all-time high for high school hockey.
And we should probably point out congratulations to Bethel Park out of the Pittsburgh area for taking home the title, beat a real tough Providence Catholic team out of Illinois.
Absolutely. It's great to see those teams representing their high schools, and exciting to see the growth, like I said, of high school hockey within USA Hockey.
Well, now we head off. We've got the youth hockey. We've got Tier 1 and Tier 2. We've got girls Tier 1 and Tier 2, and we got the women's, and we're going to, I think it's 6 or 7 sites, and a lot of these sites have hosted nationals before. How does that, for lack of a better term, how does that make your job a little bit easier because you got these people who are great volunteers and have that experience under their belt?
Well, I think it makes our job easier, that's for sure, because you can pass along manuals, you can pass along anecdotal stories from past hosts. But unless you've experienced hosting a national championship, it is a different being. It's a different beast. It's not an invitational tournament. Teams can't just pay and buy their spot into the invitational tournament. Everybody earns their spot. So that's one of the things that makes it unique. Another thing is we don't charge an entry fee. There's zero entry fee for these teams to participate in USA Hockey national championships. The host, you know, bear a ton of the workload. And because most of these hosts have all done this before, everything from, you know, the coordination of the schedule, the coordination of quality hotels, the coordination of, you know, apparel, of being a good, solid host site, our number one concern is that it's a quality event that runs on time. We don't want to run behind. We mandate certain amount of rest time between games, whether that's overnight, which is a 12-hour requirement overnight, or 4 hours between games on the same day. We put a lot of requirements and stipulations on these hosts to assure the participants of a very high-quality standard event. So, you know, working with people with that level of experience will assure the highest quality event and experience for those athletes that have earned this opportunity to compete at a high level. So we're really excited about our host this year. We're really excited to be going back to very comfortable, high-quality facilities with very experienced leadership on the volunteer side of these events.
You know, one thing that's interesting about this year is you've expanded the field at the Tier 1 level for the youth hockey. Can you just talk a little bit about why that was necessary and just, you know, adding 4 more quality teams, how much better that's going to make those already great tournaments?
Yeah, I think it's 16-team division is, I think, allows for a much better tournament when you come to tiebreakers or you come to head-to-head competition. It allows you to have 4 divisions of 4. That way everybody within your division plays each other, and then, you know, you can advance. We also felt that with only 12 teams at nationals, there were some really high-quality teams being left out. So we could accomplish a couple of things. We could add more quality teams that probably deserve to be at nationals and also improve the quality of the event with 16 teams versus 12 teams. So accomplish a couple of things by doing that. You know, unfortunately, we add 4 teams and there's some extremely high quality teams that we didn't have enough room for. We get down to splitting some hairs, and, you know, it's hard to compare apples to apples in the youth hockey world, obviously, because they don't all play in the same league. It's not like the NHL or even the Olympics or even NCAA where, you know, there's a limited number of leagues. So it's not always possible to compare apples to apples. Our committee that was appointed by Dave Klasnick, our youth council vice president, worked very diligently to try to identify 4 teams deserving. As I said, there were some very deserving teams that unfortunately we weren't able to find space for. But I think you'll see 16-team brackets at the Tier 1 level will result in a very good tournament format for that Tier 1. We had expanded Tier 2, I think, as most people know, over the last couple of years, and tried to create 16-team brackets at those, And at the Tier 2 level, at the youth side, we have the 3A and 2A levels both have 16 teams at those events. And then the 1A, we have 8 teams. So those formats will also lend itself to very high-quality events that will simplify tiebreakers and assure head-to-head competition for as long as possible. As you said, Harry, we do have 7 host sites. We have 22 divisions on the girls, the youth, and high school when you look at all of those. We have 302 teams, and that equates to over 5,100 players. So over 5,000 youth hockey players will be traveling this weekend to play, have earned their right, you know, by winning and advancing to the USA Hockey National Championships. And I think that's what makes our national championships different than a lot of other youth sporting events, is it's not an invitational. You can't buy your way in, and you have to earn through a qualifying process to advance to our youth national championships. And then there's zero entry fee for your team if you earn that right to go and compete. So I think it's a pretty unique tournament structure that we have with USA Hockey that our volunteers and our leadership can be very proud of.
You know, Kevin, speaking of things that are new, you also, I understand, just recently we've launched a new app, USA Hockey National Championships app, which is free download for either iPhones or Android. It's early in the process, obviously, and like with any technological instrument like that, you know, there's always going to be things to work out. But what are your thoughts about adding an app to the great website that we have, and just a good way to get more people engaged with our national championships?
Well, I was talking to some of our staff this morning, and I think USA Hockey has really pushed the envelope with our technological advances and the efforts to provide the service and communication to those families and friends and interested people in the hockey world that can't be on site and can't go to those games. So through our website, rebuilt tournament website and stats program that we have with real-time scoring, or at least scoring that is assured to be updated within 30 minutes of the conclusion of each game with full stats and box scores. The app, as you mentioned, this year is a brand new feature. If you download the free app, then you will receive notification at the conclusion of whichever tournament you're following with the final score and a link to that box score. So I think if for anybody that has any interest at all in following these events, you can follow them all, or you can follow just a particular division or location or host site and stay in touch with, you know, maybe people that you know that are participating in those events, or maybe you just have an interest in following them. Last week before the high school national tournament, our website and app people told me that 3,200 people had downloaded the national tournament app already. So with 32 teams there and 3,200 people downloading them, you know, I see that increasing possibly tenfold. So, you know, maybe we have over 30,000 people download that app that are going to follow friends and family and whoever that might be participating in our national championships. I do know that during the week of nationals, it is the busiest week of the year for USAHockey.com with over 6 million views during that 1 week. So obviously our youth nationals are of great interest to a lot of people across the country and of our 600,000 members that we have with USA Hockey.
You know, another really cool thing about someone was showing me on the app today is that people who are actually at the event can post their own photos and video and their own comments and things of that nature. So, you know, so it really just helps to engage everybody, both who are at the rink and also who may be just following it from afar.
Yeah, that's one of those social media things I'm not so up to speed on, and you know, but it is a cool feature, and I hope the kids really engage in it and share some photos and some of the enthusiasm and excitement that they get to experience while they're there on site. And hopefully it engages a lot of their friends and family and even players they played against and competed against maybe back home during the season. So hopefully that'll also drive some interest to following our national championships this week.
You can also follow USA Hockey Magazine on its Instagram account and submit your photos that way as well. Anyway, Kevin, I just wanted to ask you real quick before I let you go about, you know, a lot of hockey, you know, things can't be done without a lot of support. It takes a total team effort. And I wanted to just get your thoughts about, this will be the second year that Toyota will be the title sponsor, and I understand STX is going to be coming in. Just, you know, in general, your thoughts about getting these companies to come on in and to support youth hockey's flagship event.
Well, I think it's an outstanding opportunity for these sponsors, and obviously USA Hockey is lucky to have them on board and help support our events. You know, obviously Toyota will be on site demoing some of their family cars and, you know, that are hockey friendly to hockey families. And Styx, STX, is a new hockey equipment company that will be cutting edge with some of their products. And so it's an opportunity for our young hockey players to maybe sample some of their products and check it out as they break into the hockey market. So it's exciting to have sponsors and their support, and obviously enhances the event.
You know, and then finally, Kevin, you said, you know, you can't be two places at once, but I know that you, as well as Norm Spiegel and Dave Klasnick and other people within the youth hockey world, you try to get to as many events as you can just so that you can get a sense of how things are going and kind of see all the hard work that you and your staff, as well as the Legion of Volunteers, have put in to make this event so successful. What's your plans for this week?
Well, I'm going to go to three of our sites. I'm going to go to the 14U Tier 2, the 18U Tier 2, and the Tier 1, 14, 16, and 18 national championship sites. My primary role in doing that is to thank all the volunteers and our host for all the hard work. You know, these hosts have been working on this for 2 years. They've participated in conference calls. They've gone last year to visit other host sites to pick up some, you know, any tip they can get to make their event. It's fun. It's kind of a competition between sites to see who can outdo each other with bells and whistles. So, you know, in my role, I want to go and say thank you to as many of these sites as I can. Thank you to as many of our volunteer administrators and our tournament directors that are on site making sure that these events run smoothly. And it's an opportunity selfishly for me to watch some of the best hockey of the season and see some of the brightest, most competitive youth hockey teams and individual players as I travel around from the Midwest to the East Coast. And so I look forward to it. And honestly, it's one of the most fun weeks of the year for me.
That, absolutely. You know what? It's exciting. If you ever get an opportunity to go watch the national championships live, it's definitely worth it. But, you know, you can go to Fast Hockey, or you can certainly follow things on USAHockey.com or on our app through our various social media channels. So, you know, it's a great week of the year. It's the best week of the year. So, Kevin, thanks for all that you do for youth hockey, and thanks for taking the time in what is an incredibly busy time for you to talk to us today.
Thanks, Harry. I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate all the support of USA Hockey Magazine with their efforts with the podcast and with their social media so that our members can stay informed and in the loop on everything that's happening youth hockey within USA Hockey. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I will be heading up to Green Bay, Wisconsin for the Tier 1 Nationals, and we'll be doing some more podcasts, talking to some coaches and volunteers and other people involved with the youth hockey world. So we hope that you will tune back in and listen to our next USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Thanks again.